Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel. Boye malamuna Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Hello. Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel. None.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
The Army.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
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 Well, to those of you who have not had a chance to say it too, Happy New Year. Here we are, 7 days in. Does it still feel like a new year to you? Has the new year been happy for you so far? Have you made any New Year's resolutions? Have you kept them so far? New Year, or can it be called Let's Begin Again? Is the opportunity for new beginnings. It enables us to reflect on the past, but also to put in place renewals and transformations that we might want to see and make for the coming year. God knew that we needed new beginnings. The human spirit was created with the capacity for renewal, the need for renewal. Thus, in creation, He created the cycle of evening and morning, a new day every 24 hours, an opportunity for new beginnings, to start over again, to improve on what has been done before, to forget the past and move on. And he created the cycle of 7 days in which we would cease from work on the Sabbath and rest and recognize that we owe our existence to God and acknowledge him as Lord of our lives. And so we have this cycles of life, the ever-recurring cycle of a new day, of new weeks, of new years, of birthdays, anniversaries, the opportunities for new beginnings, and with that comes new revelations. I love Christmas with all its flares and fun, but I also love the season of Epiphany, which doesn't get as much love. Epiphany is named as a divine revelation granted to the Magi who visited Jesus. And it began, as Adrian said yesterday, on the 6th of January. And then it lasts. Well, it lasts as long as it needs to, really, for you, until Ash Wednesday even. Epiphany means a moment of sudden revelation or insight. And it makes sense to me that it's kind of this season devoted to our own aha moments, our magi moments of the revelation of God is right smack in the middle of winter, because I read recently by author Catherine May, who says that transformation is the business of winter. And so at this time of year, the middle of winter, a time of new beginnings, we look at our covenant with God and how we can respond better to that covenant through revelation, renewal, and transformation this year, so we can be more of who God wants us and needs us to be in his kingdom. And I love that we do this every year in the Salvation Army at this time. So what is a covenant? Well, Whitney Woolard of the Bible Project explains that a covenant is a relationship between two partners who make binding promises to each other and work together to reach a common goal. They're often accompanied by oaths, signs, and ceremonies. Covenants define obligation and commitments, but they're different from a contract because they are relational and personal. The Old Testament tells the stories of four covenants, in particular between God and his people. And in faithfulness, God keeps all of these covenants, but God's people didn't. And so we come to the new covenant. Here in Hebrews, it makes the bridge between the Old and the New Covenant. And whilst we don't exactly know which church this was written to, the readers appear to be Jewish Christians, hence the name Hebrews, who, because of persecution and other pressures, were in danger of drifting away from the faith and returning back to Judaism. They are second-generation Christians, a well-established community, and by this stage, they ought to be teachers, but they're still immature in many ways. This author of Hebrews wants to inspire them and give them hope to sustain their faith in the midst of their trials. He wanted to reveal something new to them to transform them. He recognized that it can be easy to lose confidence in God's goodness in the midst of difficult times. And on this covenant day in the Salvation Army, these words are for you and for me as well at the beginning of this new year, to inspire us, to give us hope, and to sustain us for the year to come with its joys and with its mundane and its inevitable difficult seasons as well. It's important to notice that in every covenant God has made ever with humankind, God's part is far bigger. We're not equal partners. God is infinite, omnipotent, and eternal, and we are fragile and limited. It's a good job then that God always takes the lion's share of the commitment, because if it were down to us, the covenant might not last as long. The new covenant is perhaps the most unequal covenant of all. God gave everything, even his very self, to open that living way for us. All we need to do is accept the gift of relationship, God's part in the covenant, the revelation, the forgiveness, the access, the life which is available to us from the moment we say yes to Jesus, to his invitation to follow him. And so the writer to the Hebrews highlights four things that we might do to help us make a faithful and faithful response to this new covenant. And he begins each one of them with the words, let us. And that's an interesting choice of word, I think, because we might accept we must or we should, the words of obligation and duty, but instead we find these words of actually invitation and encouragement. Let us do these things as a love response to the one who has given us so much. The covenant doesn't rely on our ability to remain faithful, no matter how often we falter. The covenant stands because it rests on God, not on us. But when we begin to understand all that God has done for us, it's natural to want to respond to that faithfulness with some faithfulness of our own. These let us invitations are responses, but the writer seems to be suggesting that they could also be responsibilities. A response is something that's perhaps spontaneous and a one-off, whereas a responsibility is a choice we make to keep doing something because we know it's a good thing to do. They are things that we choose to do in response to the love and grace of God in our lives. When we take something up as a responsibility, we commit to doing it until it becomes a habit, and the habit, in turn, hopefully helps us to grow and to mature. And so our passage suggests four responses we might make to God, which in turn can become responsibilities that deepen and strengthen our faith as we live in a covenant relationship with him. Firstly, he says, let us make a habit of prayer. In the new covenant, we're welcomed into God's presence. We're invited to draw near and to get to know God. He says in verse 23, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. And I was thinking, as I was thinking through this Bible reading, I realized what a privilege this really is. I went to Buckingham Palace last year. I can say that now, last year. Has anyone here been inside Buckingham Palace? A few of you. Now, the palace is only open to the public a few weeks of the year. And the security for those of you who've been there, remember the security surrounding your visit is quite high, and you're not allowed to take photos inside, and you aren't allowed to have any sneaky peeks in any of the other areas other than the places that you're kind of taken to on the tour. And if ever I saw a member of staff coming out of a door that had a no entry, and you know that way where you're just kind of having a wee look behind the door just to see if you can see anything more. Because when you go around, you see just a mere fraction of the palace. You see the rooms that you might see on the TV. But there's so much more to that palace that would help me to know the inner workings of the family more intimately. In our Bible reading in verses 19 to 20, the writer says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place." And he's referring here to the tabernacle, the tent that Israel was to build when they lived in the wilderness. They all lived in tents, but this special tent would allow God to live amongst them. This tent was like Buckingham Palace, really. They couldn't go into it, and they lived in fear of it. I don't live in fear of Buckingham Palace, though. That's the only difference. And the entrance had a curtain across it. And then inside, another curtain divided it into two. And only the priests could go into the tent at all, and the inmost bit was strictly out of bounds, except to the current serving high priest. He could go in once a year only, after very careful preparation to sprinkle blood and atone for our sins. The whole structure was a massive no-entry sign, a bit like the closed-off bits of Buckingham Palace. Their view was that God is holy, he is pure, he is perfect, we are sinful, we are flawed, and so we can't go in there. The way to God was closed. You couldn't approach him personally. The high priest had to do that for you. But what this verse says is that in this new covenant, Jesus' death opened the way through the curtain that was torn in two when he died. No more sacrifices need to be made. No more sprinkling of blood. Now we can go into where God lives. That is the most extraordinary privilege. And this is a revelation for me. I've never really thought of the privilege in that way as I did as I read this Bible reading. I think we take that for granted sometimes and forget the no entry sign that used to be there. I think because we've not lived in that time, we take for granted the presence of God and that we can personally and individually come into that presence of the King of Kings. In other translations, it tells us to draw near to God. The very nature of the direction implies that we have a need to draw near to him, that we are not all near, and that we're not always near. The most natural response to a loving invitation like this is to come in and bask in it. And that's what prayer is. God has promised his presence with us always, but we're invited to enter a special place where we can connect with God in a more intentional and intimate way, where we consciously acknowledge that presence and understand more about him. It's not a physical place anymore, as the temple of the tabernacles was for the Israelites. It's a heart place, which we can access anywhere, anytime. Know the privilege of that. Know the privilege of that. When we pray, we participate in the restoring and renewing of things. Prayer may be a natural response to God's faithfulness, but the Bible also encourages us to make prayer a responsibility, establishing a faithful rhythm of prayer that underpins our lives. Is that your prayer life? Whether prayer is a natural, spontaneous response or our chosen responsibility, or indeed both, the writer to the Hebrews encourages us to pray regularly, make it a habit of drawing near to God, to pray confidently, knowing we are welcomed, loved, and forgiven, and to pray honestly, being real and sincere in the presence of the one who knows us completely. So let us make a habit of prayer this covenant day. Secondly, he says let us make a habit of hope. In verse 23, he writes, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. It is only through understanding the privilege and finding the strength and clear-mindedness that comes from being in the presence of God that we can ever hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Because the rock that holds us firm, that ceases when the wavering, is the knowledge of the fact that he who has promised is faithful. We may desire in our heart to do the will of God in the world around us, but we often forget that it is not we who are faithful, but he who is faithful. He has promised that he would speak confidently of the hope that is in us because of the truth of it is not dependent on us, on our ability, on our merit, but upon the finished work and the eternal truth of his word. God is faithful. God has been faithful to every covenant. When we look back over our lives and see the fingerprints of his faithfulness, it does our heart good, doesn't it? Our natural response is to be thankful, to be encouraged, to feel more hopeful about the journey ahead of us. That's why we're here today. That's why we continue in faith, isn't it? Yet the writer to the Hebrews invites us to turn that response into a responsibility. Not just responding to God's faithfulness with an occasional surge of thankfulness and optimism, but choosing to hold tight to hope. And we do this through gratitude, strengthening our hope by choosing to look back and say, thank you for all that you've done in my life, God, to raise your Ebenezer. And through trust, strengthening our hope by choosing to trust God for the future, because he who has promised is faithful. So let's make a habit of hope this covenant day. Thirdly, let's make a habit of kindness. The first two responsibilities are mostly to do with ourselves. But this third response goes beyond us. The writer says in verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. We have received unnumbered blessings from God, haven't we? That's the way it's always been throughout the Bible. God has poured his blessing on God's people, that the people might be a blessing to the world around them. And when we become aware of God's blessing in our lives, it's not unusual to find ourselves caught up in some spontaneous urge to be kind to others. It's the love response to the faithful generosity of God. The writer to the Hebrews again encourages us to make the love response into a responsibility by choosing to be kind. The Old Testament covenant involved learning a complex set of rules and obeying them impeccably. But when we become partners with God in this new covenant, the law is written on our hearts and in our minds. The things of God come more and more naturally to us, and the Holy Spirit works in us to make us like Jesus. I believe we stimulate one another to good works by praying for one another's needs and meeting one another's needs and setting an example by our own unselfish good deeds, not done for the purpose of setting an example, but as a fruit of righteousness, a result of the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, an outpouring of God's love for us. So let us make a habit of kindness on this covenant Sunday. And finally, let's make a habit of unity. In verse 25, the writer says, let's not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his returning is drawing near. How often have we heard someone say, I don't have to go to church to worship God? Well, the church is Christ's body of believers. And if we're not gathered with them in worship and fellowship and mutual support and stimulation to good works, then we are not being the church. But it is true, you don't need to go to church to worship God, but you need to be an attending, effectual member of the body of Christ to be in obedience to God. You see, I'm encouraged when I'm struggling to know that my church is praying for me. I'm encouraged When I pray for you and see the answers come, I've lost count of how many times that has happened just in this past year. I'm encouraged when someone in this church family shares something with me, with us, that opens my eyes to spiritual truths or shares something of an intimate thing that's going on in their life. I'm greatly encouraged when I see or hear of a new baby or when someone makes a new commitment to God in our church family. I'm also encouraged when it's announced that the food is overloaded and ready on the table to bring in share lunches. And that, and so much more, is where we find encouragement of being part of this church and being together. Part of God's faithfulness to us is to place us in communities where we care for each other and want to contribute. And that's the love response, to want to give back something, to want to play our part. The writer of the Hebrews stirs us again to turn that response into a responsibility, to make a habit of connecting with others. And in this increasingly individualistic society of ours, that's a challenging habit to form. We may even prefer to privatize our own faithfulness. I'll make sure I'm being faithful to God and let everybody else get on with their own faithfulness. Yet these verses in Hebrews invites us to express our faithfulness to God together by encouraging each other and meeting together. So let's make a habit of unity, of being together. And so our four responses this morning, let us make a habit of prayer, of hope, of kindness, and unity. And I really encourage you to make these four responses a responsibility in your covenant with God, in particular this year. And as we make them a responsibility, let's see how the habit forms. Let's see how the Lord works in and through that. And so on this day, in this new year, let's take this opportunity for a new beginning and to renew the covenant with God that he has made with us. This is not a covenant with the Salvation Army. It's not about here, it's about him. How do you want to live your life this year? Or do you want to live it in response to all that God has done for you and all that God has promised you? Hopefully you should have all had a covenant card, which is a beautiful prayer on it, that asking that the way that we live our lives should be a response to the love that God has for us. And we're going to play a beautiful arrangement of the song Take My Life and Let It Be. And I invite you just to take some time to renew your covenant, to perhaps enable the Lord to reveal something new to you this morning. Perhaps he has already in these moments that we've shared together. How do you want to live in response to God today, this year? How do you want to make a habit of prayer, of hope, of kindness, of unity in your life this year? What can you do? How can you change your way of living, your habits, so that this is your response, your responsibility, your habit this year, if it's not already? Sometimes when we want to make a change, we have to do something quite physical to kind of almost make that accountability there. And so the option for you this morning is, if you would like to, is to come to this place of prayer, to make the stand, say, I want to make this covenant, renew my covenant. I want to make these things a habit. I want this to be a response for me. So you might want to come to this place of prayer. You can kneel, you can stand, you can sit and sign your name to it and pray about how the Lord might use you as you make this response to him just now. And so we'll listen to this work, this music. And as we do, take this opportunity to renew your covenant with the Lord, to know what your response is going to be to him who loved us so much. Thank you.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days and let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Filled with messages from Thee. 'Cause I am yours, even when the doubt sets in, even when I'm running in the opposite direction. And I am yours when the night is dark and I can't see. You're all and I am reminded that I am yours. Why am I yours? Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days and let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my voice. Always only for 'cause I am yours. Even when the doubt sets in, even when I'm running in the opposite direction, and I am yours. When the night is dark and I can't see, you're always standing next to me, and I am reminded that I
And so let me pray with you. Loving Father, the depth of your unconditional and unceasing love is beyond our understanding. But today we respond to that love. As your love lives in us, may our thoughts, words, and actions reflect you at all times and in every place. May our souls be a place we meet, where all we are becomes all that you want us to be in heart, mind, and spirit. That being one with you, we might see you, know you, and show you in every part of our lives. That in us and through us, your kingdom may come now. And so may this covenant of love draw us deeper and bring others closer to you. Amen. Amen.